You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
From Paris, New York, and around the globe, welcome to the Pet Set. For the hip, the trendy, the uber cool, where pets rule. If you've got a passion for pet fashion and a flair for animal wear, this is the ultimate place to take a peek at what's chic. Find out what's hot and what's not in the world of designer pet fashion and cool new pet products. Whether you're a dog or cat, it's time to strut your stuff on the Pet Set.
Hi there, this is Dara Foster, your host of The Pet Set on PetLifeRadio.com. Join me today for two really cool interviews. I've got Jorge Bendersky coming on the line soon. He's the celebrity dog groomer of New York City. He was also a contestant on Animal Planet's Groomer Has It, and is a personal friend of mine and just a really great guy who also does a lot of volunteer work with North Shore Animal League. So I plan on talking to Jorge today to find out about the latest grooming trends and his inspiration for a lot of the haircuts he does, and find out some summer grooming tips to help us all keep our dogs stylish in the hot weather. And next we have Cheryl Mathis coming on air. She's the founder of leashesandlovers.com and the author of one of the best-selling books out there called Leashes and Lovers. And we plan on talking to her today about pets and love and how they fit into your life and what we can learn from our dogs. And I also plan on picking Cheryl's brain about whether or not the opposite sex finds dog fashion cute or revolting. Anyways, I look forward to a fun conversation with them, and we'll be right back after these messages.
It's time for a walk down Fifth Avenue, of course. The Pet Set will be right back after we do a little shopping.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
The Pet Set is back with the latest buzz in four-legged fashions and more fashion trends for our furry friends.
All right, hi, we're back, and I'm here with Jorge Bendersky, the famous celebrity groomer. And hi, Jorge, how are you doing today? It's so great to talk to you.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's so my pleasure. I have to tell our listeners how I know Jorge. We met, gosh, Jorge, was it about 4 years ago at the first New York Pet Fashion Week? And I was there with my video crew, kind of a rookie, you know, interviewing, you know, different designers and celebrities and things that were there at the event. And I met Jorge, and from the moment I met him, I just loved him. He just has such a warm heart and this loving energy that just radiates. And his love for animals is so apparent in everything that he does, not only his grooming, but just the way that he interacts with dogs and all the volunteer work that he does for rescued animals at North Shore Animal League. So Jorge, can you tell us a little bit about how you found your passion for dog grooming and about how you ended up coming to the United States and what brought you here?
Well, I started with dogs actually when I was 11 years old, and I trade my Atari that I got for Christmas, that kind of tells a little bit about my age, for my first show dog. So that was a long time ago. And since then, I've always been related on the sport of breeding and showing dogs, and it's all about glamour, and it's all about style and dogs and movements. But it was always a hobby in Argentina. 17 years ago, when I moved to the States, I couldn't speak any English. Not that I'm doing much better now, but I was like, oh, I have to deliver pizza my hobby turned into a profession. And that was my passion. I never wanted it to be a doctor or a firefighter. Since I'm a kid, I always wanted it to be with dogs, something related with dogs. So I'm living my childhood dream. I can't be happier.
Ah, that is a beautiful thing. You know, Jorge, I agree with you 100%. My favorite adage is, love what you do and you'll never work a day in your life. And you're definitely living that, and so am I, I'd like to think. And can you tell us a little bit about, like, how did you start dog grooming? You started when you were age 11? That's amazing.
I know, but it was my hobby, and after school, I would go around the corner to a friend's house that she bred Pekingese and Shih Tzu, and I would be brushing dogs. That kept me out of the streets, and that gave me, like, some little extra money. For years and years of doing that, I became good at it.
That's super cool. And you know, one thing that we did, I'd love to tell our listeners about, is you and I were on the Today Show together. We did Doggy Ambush Makeovers was the idea for the segment. And I was the fashion stylist and you were the groomer. You made those dogs look so cool. There was Penny the Little Rescue Dog. You said, I remember you told me that you actually blew color onto her ears through a straw.
That was super fun. And it was great because it was the first time that we actually got to work together. And remember, like, you know, fashion goes very close together to hairstyles. So, you know, I'm a dog stylist. You are, you know, a dog stylist on the fashion way. So it's like dogs have become such an important part of our social lives that mm-hmm. their outfits and their looks are very important. You know, nothing is going to show your Manolos better than a shiny dog walking next to it.
I agree with that. Do you find that owners are experimenting a little bit more now with cuts, and they're kind of moving away from just the standard classic, you know, breed standard? They're going more for mohawks and colors and more fashion cuts?
Well, you know, dogs love attention. It's nothing that a dog loves more than when somebody approaching on the street with a smile and some giggly thing, you know, face.
Yeah.
And it's nothing is going to create that more than a pink poodle. You know, the dog will realize that it's because he is pink or he looks like a panda bear or a tiger that everybody's looking at him, but they just enjoy the attention. And
one thing,
you know, a lot of people is talking about that is abuse. And as a groomer, what I say, what it is abuse is when I have a dog walking into the salon completely matted that the owner hasn't pay attention to him for months with ears all infected. That is abuse. I'm sorry. To me, that is a spa treatment.
You know, I totally agree with you 110%. It is abuse when you don't groom your animal and they become matted. And, you know, people ask me the same thing about fashion. You know, is it wrong to put your dog in clothes? And, you know, basically I tell people if it makes you feel good and it makes your dog feel good, your dog's not afraid of it. They love the attention, and the same thing goes for grooming. My gosh, you see a dog with a blue mohawk walking down the street, and how can you not smile and laugh? Like, it just brings joy to everyone,
and it brings
you
closer. Everything that you do with your dog, even selecting the dog clothes, and we know people that their outfits are planned to match their dog outfits, and it brings you closer to the dog, because you are really, dogs are created to be a team with us. And nothing is more team-like than selecting your outfits together.
That's so true. It's so true. And don't you find that people are really wanting their dog to be kind of a mirror of themselves more than they used to, let's say, like 10 years ago?
Totally. And one of the reasons is young couples now, they don't get married and have kids right away because they are both professional. They're, you know, trying to get better. So from the first 5 or 6 years of their marriage, they have a dog, and the dog becomes their baby. And then they have the kid for their dog after they've been married for a few years. I have seen that happen over and over. So it's not like it used to be before, where you get married very young, you have the baby, and when the baby is 3 or 4, you get him a dog. Now it's the other way around.
Right, yeah. They really are becoming full members of the family. And this is an interesting segue. I have another guest coming on, Cheryl Mathis, who wrote the book Leashes and Lovers. And we plan on talking about dogs and, you know, divorce and custody battles and those sorts of things. And it's so true that they are really such a part of the family in a very different way than they used to be. You know, we have so many different options and choices, and it's becoming much more socially acceptable, I think, to take your dog places that you didn't used to. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally, totally. And your dog needs to be clean to be able to go into a hotel or a restaurant. And you don't want your dog to be naked. So it's always some little cute clothes to put on them.
Exactly. And what's better than like a cute mohawk or a great cut to accentuate awesome dog clothes?
But it is important as always to use safe, pet safe products. Now, we are not only the only ones who realize how, you know, color have invaded the dog world. The companies, pet companies, are aware of that, and there are lines of pet safe products to color your dog. It's not that, you know, so they are totally non-toxic. You can, you know, put it on your tongue and swallow it, and they're all vegetable based. So they're like really non-toxic.
Right, right. Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people probably think, oh, isn't that abuse? You're coloring your dog's ears pink. But, I mean, if it's not toxic, it's not. It's totally safe.
Exactly, exactly. They're, like, totally safe colors.
Yeah. So, Jorge, what do you think about all this grooming going on in Japan? You know, there's this whole movement of kind of extreme grooming, I guess. Is that the right term for it, extreme grooming or creative grooming, where, you know, you make dogs look like a panda bear or something like that?
That's been around for a very long time. It actually was created here in America by Jerry Schimbrer, who was a groomer who first started the creative competitions. And it just became a trend, but it is nothing that you regularly see on the street. Somebody will do it. You will see on the street a little bit of color, and that's what it's going to end up being. We go to the fashion show, and you see those over-the-top outfits that they're only inspiration for young designers to base their lines on it. All this creative extreme grooming that we see around, they're just, you know, like the over-the-top examples done by professionals. I'm sure that is going to evolve into a much more, let's say, ready-to-wear color.
Right. That's what I kind of see happening is it's becoming more mainstream. Do you have clients coming in more now than you used to, let's say, 2 years ago, requesting, you know, mohawks and fun cuts, you know, make my dog look like a teddy bear requests?
Okay, and they look great. And when I saw the picture online about the dog looking like a teddy bear, it's just adorable.
It's so cute. We've been posting a lot of those on pupstyle.com lately, my website. And I tell people it's a great alternative to clothes in the summertime. You know, get your dog a really great, you know, grooming session with a fun cut, and that can replace fashion in the really hot temperatures. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly, and you can create very easy stencils, and then with a blow pen that you buy at a toy store, that they are non-toxic because they are for kids. You can blow a little flower, you know, on your dog, or give him a little spark of color in the tail or on the ears. You know, use common sense. You know, not to blow on their faces, but those are totally non-toxic.
Totally. And speaking of grooming products, do you have any special products that you prefer, let's say, for removing, mats from behind the flat-coated retriever's ears like my Mr. Jenkins?
Well, you know, like, I always try to go to the natural products, you know. And remember, the worst pet shampoo, it is better than the best human products, because dogs only sweat through their paws and through their tongues. So their shampoos are designed with the right pH to clean the dirt, but to leave the essential oils on their coat. While our shampoos, because we sweat to our old, you know, to our skin, they are made to really remove those oils. That's why it is not good to use them on our dogs.
Okay, so using human shampoo on a dog is a big no-no.
Exactly. I don't care how great and expensive it is not good for your dog. You know, you need to use pet products on pets.
Okay, that's a really good tip for our listeners to know about, because I think sometimes, you know, if you get a dog that's just been skunked and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm out of, you know, grooming shampoo, your first inclination would be just to grab, you know, your Prel or your John Frieda, whatever there in the shower at that moment, and put it on your dog. But you're saying it could be dangerous.
Exactly, yes. It's not dangerous, it's just really not good. So if you have to, you know, baby shampoo is the best option, but, you know, we all have a pet store nearby, so it is not an excuse not to have. If you have a dog, you need to take care of your dog, and that is including having the right tools at home to groom your dog. You cannot rely always on a professional to do it. It is your dog. You should know better. You're going to become a better pet owner if you know how to take care of your dog.
And in the long run, you'll end up saving money on vet bills and grooming bills if you maintain your dog in between spa visits, correct?
Totally. And people don't understand brushing your dog, like, on the regular basis is the best and easiest way for early detection of most of the dog problems, because everything is reflected on their coat. So when you brush your dog from nose to tail, you can actually see every inch of their skin. If this is a bump, it is a rash, it is a bite, it is a, you know, a wound, you will recognize it right away, and early detection is cheap care. You know, you're going to save a lot of money on vet bills.
Totally. Here's, speaking of the right tools, what kind of brush do you recommend, you know, for longer haired dogs? That's one thing that I personally struggle over is I've got a ton of brushes here, but I'm not really sure what brush to use on a dog with longer hair. What do you suggest? Is there a certain name for that kind of brush you should use?
Slicker brushes now, they come in different lengths. So if the hair is longer and soft, you want to go to a slicker brush that is to the medium to long, you know, too long. And what is important is always to mist the dog with a little water with a couple drops of conditioner, because the hair is elastic. And when you try to brush out dry hair, it's going to really pull. While when you mist it a little bit with water, it will let the brush really run much, much easier. So that is a good tip to brush.
That's a great tip. I'm going to steal that tip and use it today.
Totally,
my good dog needs help.
Yeah, you can find in the market a lot of pet leave-on conditioners for dogs, and those are good. Just be careful that a little bit goes a long way, so don't make the dog so sticky that then it's going to be sweeping all the floor, you know, and keeping everything on it.
You don't want Velcro dog. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. And the streets in New York are a hot mess.
So
you need to know. And another tip is, like, you know, now it's summer, the streets are hot, all the gum that people spit on the streets get very soft, the tar gets soft, so it is very important to, every time you walk your dog, to wipe his paws when you get back home, to be sure that they're free of all debris, because that's where the dog sweat through it. So it is important. And remember, the dog's face is pretty much at the level of all the cars sweeping the floor. It's like having your face on the floor when somebody's sweeping next to you.
Oh,
that
geez.
Is what the dog goes through. So it's very important to keep their faces clean, to use saline solution and put on their eyes to, like, clear up all the dust that gets accumulated there, because that is what then gets deposited on the tear ducts, and that's what create, like, all the tear stains, because the tear ducts get clogged with all the dust. So a good, easy, cheap tip is have a little saline solution and, you know, give him a quick squirt when you come back from the walk.
Yeah, that's a really good tip, too. Geez, the visual you gave me of the dogs with gum on the street, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that sounds horrendous.
I think the cars are sweeping dust back and forth. Just think yourself laying on the, you know, on the floor and having somebody sweeping next to you.
That's gross. And so what would your tip be for removing gum from a dog's coat?
Well, patient. You know, like, again, early detection is the best thing. If you're going to realize it a week later, it's going to be much harder to do. But if you do your homework and you check his paws every time he walks into the house, that should be easy. You know, you can use the peanut butter trick. Always work, but it gets a little messy if you do it around the house, so just be careful. But, you know, a little warm water works to soften it up. So, you know, that is one of the tips of early detection.
Those are really, really good tips. Before we go, Jorge, can you tell us what you've been doing on TLC and any other appearances you have coming up where our listeners might be able to check you out or listen in?
Well, talking about colors, this Sunday on TLC is my new show. It's called Extreme Poodles, where, like, really groomers turn their scissors into magic ones, and they are going to turn dogs into a buffalo, into a zebra, into a lion. It's It's very fun, and I'm one of the judges, and I'm not really a very nice one because.
Oh, no way! That's
I know. I'm a little scared to hear the to hear my own comments. I saw the commercial, and I was like, "Oh my God, why did I say that?"
So you're like the Simon Cowell of dog grooming. I love it, Jorge.
So I'm going to be hiding for a few days, probably.
Oh my gosh, you're going to need security now after the show.
I would paint my hair in pink.
Wow, I am so excited to tune in because I love all the grooming that's going on. It's so much fun to watch, and it's absolutely incredible what you guys are able to do now, and it's an art form. It really, truly is. And I'd love people to wrap their head around that and really view grooming as a creative expression and not just a utilitarian thing that you do with your pet. And lastly, what else do you have coming up? Do you have another event with North Shore Animal League? You're very involved with those guys, and I love that.
I know.
They're amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
It's amazing what they do. And our next event is going to be at the New York Dog Pan Hotel on June 13 from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on 25th Street between 6th Avenue and Broadway. And the North Shore Adoption Van is going to be there, and it's going to be games, and it's going to be, you know, different contests. And the event is to benefit North Shore Animal League America, of course. So if you have nothing to do and you're walking around the city with your dog, stop by the Dog Spa. And you can check all the information on dogspa.com, or you can contact me always at planetjorge.com.
Oh, fabulous, Jorge. I think I might have to swing by with Bernard, my chihuahua, for that event. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, definitely. And it's for a good cause. So
it is for a very good cause. Well, Jorge, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you, as always. And I look forward to seeing you in person real soon. And congratulations and good luck with all your success. And tune in to TLC this Sunday for Extreme Poodles. And you can also check out Jorge at plantjorge.com.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to have you on one of my shows soon because I need to work with you. You are the funniest and the stylist lady in the pet world. So.
Oh, Jorge, I just adore you. I can't wait to. Big love, sweetie, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. All right, so we're going to take a break, and next we have coming up Cheryl Mathis, the founder of LeashesAndLovers.com and the author of the new bestseller book, Leashes and Lovers, coming up next here on PetLifeRadio.com.
It's time for a walk down Fifth Avenue, of course. The Pet Set will be right back after we do a little shopping.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
The Pet Set is back with the latest buzz in four-legged fashions and more fashion trends for our furry friends.
Hi, we're back here with Cheryl Mathis. She's the founder of LeashesAndLovers.com and the author of the best-selling book, Leashes and Lovers. Welcome to my show, Cheryl.
Well, hi. Great to talk to you.
It's so great to talk to you, too. I have to tell our listeners a little bit background about how we met. I just had on Jorge Bendersky as my first guest, who you probably know from Pet Fashion Week. And that's actually where I found you and met you just very briefly in passing about 4 years ago.
And that's where I met Jorge as well. That's so funny. We all met at the same place, and he's in my book, too.
Oh, he's in your book. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. That is so cool. It's a small world. I look at the three of us, and we've kind of risen up through the ranks over the past 4 years, starting out at, you know, we started our businesses before Pet Fashion Week, but ever since Pet Fashion Week, it's like everything has just kind of exploded and grown over the years. It's just so cool to see your career take off and Jorge's take off, and things are happening on our end over here at Pup Style, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, this is a fun event. I really love it every year, and they've been doing it now. They're going on their fifth year, I believe. So I've been with them right since the start. Yeah, it's a great weekend.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Can you tell our listeners how you came up with the idea and the concept behind Leashes and Lovers? I think it's so unique and amazing. Give us a little bit of a background on how you thought up this idea and how you started your business.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, even though I'm married, I knew that once I got my dog Shiraz, it's as if the whole social world changed for me. You know, you walk down the street, everybody stops, they want to talk about your dog. And I found myself meeting neighbors, living especially in New York City at the time, meeting people on the street. New Yorkers seem friendly. And I thought, you know, there's got to be other people like me who just love the notion that all of a sudden when you have your dog with you, it really opens up all these other doors, whether it's even networking for social aspects. And so with that, I decided that I wanted to start these events where people could come together, bring their dogs into a cocktail lounge setting. So to me, you know, I guess because I liked going into the lounges and such and having a glass of wine or a martini, now it seemed like the perfect scenario is if you could bring your dog with you. So it started in that aspect, but then quickly people nationwide started to hear about it and wanted to take part. So that's when I started the online aspect of it. So anybody anywhere can come on, make a profile of themselves and their pet. They don't even have to have one to actually take part, but just be a dog lover in general and make a profile and connect with others as well on Leashes and Lovers. Now we're even calling it the Leashes and Lovers Club.
Oh, that's so cool. So you're sort of like the dating guru of people with dogs.
Yeah, you know, most people do come, do still associate it as a dating site, but there's also other ways you can connect. If you just want to meet other people with the same dog breed as you, or maybe you just want to have richer friendships and you know right away that you have that common bond, or maybe you're looking for, you know, whether it's the same breed or even a dog play date. Those are other ways too. And then also I'll be talking with experts too monthly, so people can come to socialize, but also to feel that they're getting some kind of information along the way too, but all based on relationships.
I think that is so cool. And you do so many neat excursions, a lot of outdoor events and activities. And, you know, if I were still single and dating, I would so be at your events every single weekend.
Well, you can still come. They're open to everybody, not just singles. But yeah, we're starting a kayaking one and we do hikes. And then we also have the socials. We've had ice cream socials, pub crawls to just cocktail parties. So yeah, a big variety of things, but definitely we have the Hamptons wine events too going on. But it's just fun to do things, of course, and bring your dog along.
It is. I need to join in on some of your events. They sound like way too much fun, more than should be legal. Oh, well, I love your website, and I think that's a really cool concept. And onto your other big project, which I was so excited when I saw your book. You have a new book out called Leashes and Lovers with a phenomenal cover. I have to say, I love the cover. It's so fashion-forward and stylish. It's really great.
Well, that means a lot coming from you, because I know you're very into style. Good.
I am into style. I'm so into style. So I'd like to ask you a couple questions about your book, Missy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about doggies and dating. Okay, does the opposite sex find dog fashion silly? You know, like as a woman, I think the whole dog fashion trend is really led by females. And I'm wondering, you know, is it a turn on or a turn off to men when they see, you know, you with your dog all dressed up, a single person?
Right. You know, it definitely can. And women, we have to admit, you know, we tend to like to do that with our dogs. And to some guys, they can certainly take that maybe the wrong way. It depends. But then, you know, there are some guys who are completely comfortable about it. But it does say definitely something about you. For instance, if the girl is dressing up her dog, I think as long as she keeps it somewhat subtle, you know, if they even have a bit matching outfit, maybe the coats match on both the human and the dog, that can actually be very classy and stylish. Or a cute raincoat gear, you know, attire where you're matching, or even if it's on your dog itself, and especially if it's geared toward weather conditions. So obviously a coat if it's colder outside or if it's raining. I think guys would be are completely fine with that. But then there comes that degree, you know, with to what level do you want to take it? If you're having the matching the matching booties and maybe a tutu on and something around its neck, you know, if it's for a contest, that's great. It's very apropos. But it does send out a message if you're just walking down the street that way. Certainly some guys I think would perceive that as both you and your dog are probably high maintenance. So, that's okay with the guy, then wonderful. You know, you've also then found probably your perfect match.
Ah, that's interesting. Do you find that dog fashion probably opens up a conversation? Does it help kind of break the ice in a new relationship in some way?
Oh, completely. It opens up the, right, is a conversation starter because, you know, people may even find it fun and funny, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we do have our dogs to be social with us, be our companions, but also, you know, the best release is that they make us laugh a lot of times too. So if you can, if you put your dog in some kind of garb and it makes, it brings a smile to other people's face when they walk by, I mean, who could ask for more than that? I think it's wonderful when you walk down the street and you're bringing smiles to other people's faces.
Oh, I have to agree with you too. I have this a little 5.5-pound chihuahua named Mr. Bernard, and he's my big man. And I love to take Bernie into the city. He wears this fun, incredible Hulk hoodie sweatshirt from Chihuahua sometimes, and then I'll see his ears green with hair gel. Oh my gosh, Cheryl. The people that stop and take pictures and comment on the street, it's amazing the attention that this dog brings. And he makes so many people just smile and laugh at it that I can't help but think it must be a great way to meet someone of the opposite sex if you're single. You know, you just, if I was single and walking that dog around, I'd have a pocket full of phone numbers, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You'd have lots of cards by the end of the day. I've even seen some people make billboards on their dogs, you know, that might say, you know, something to the effect of their owner. Yeah, yes, she's available too.
Oh, that's funny. You've actually seen people do that? You're kidding me.
I have. Isn't that funny? I mean, why not make your dog also a walking billboard for what you might want out of your life? Yeah.
Right. Dogvertising. I love it.
But yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's fun. And like you said, you know, people are stopping, they're taking pictures. One time I was even on a shoot with Shiraz, and she wasn't even wearing any clothes, but there was a model and they were doing a photography shoot. And so, of course, people are going to want to stop and take pictures of this model on the street. But I had just as many people asking me about Shiraz. You know, what's it like to have a greyhound? How is she? Oh, she's beautiful. She's striking. And so sometimes even just the simplicity of a dog itself, too, opens up and makes people realize that they're warm, they're inviting, they're companions, yes, they can be part of your family, and it's not as hard as you may think.
I agree with you 100% on that. And one other topic I'd love to discuss that you briefly touch on, actually, no, you don't briefly, you did devote a whole chapter to it, is about divorce. Mm-hmm. I think all of our listeners have probably heard about the Cesar Millan divorce right now, and I guess there could be some potential custody issues over the pets, over the dogs, which is a huge trend right now, right, Cheryl? People fighting over dogs just like children in divorce situations.
Yeah, exactly. And I write a whole chapter in the book on this. And even though most of the book is all about relationships and bringing you together, you know, there are those unfortunate circumstances where maybe then things don't work out. So what do you do when the relationship splits, but the dog doesn't? And, you know, Caesar, I know, which we're all saddened by, I mean, the guru of them all, being such a pack leader and knowing the importance of a pack, and they're splitting up. And while they did mention in their release about their children, there was no mention about the dogs. So, of course, we can kind of assume that Caesar will probably have all the dogs or most of the dogs, but I guess that will be uncovered. But there are five different areas that I do talk about, or five tips and options that people can, you know, think about in advance is always a good idea, because in that way your emotions don't get the best of you if it's after the fact and then it becomes more of a heated battle. But there are such things, for instance, you could consider visitation instead of shared custody. Right away people may think, oh, you know, we'll share the dog and I'll see it through the week and you see it on the weekends, just like you would a child. And that may sound great on paper, but I talked to a couple in the book, for instance, who made that arrangement and then realized later it just got very awkward. For instance, the lady wanted to move on, but yet the guy still comes back over to see the dog. And they had two dogs and they each took one, but he would even come over and not bring the other dog with him. And it just became kind of odd. So maybe visitation may be better, where the dog just either goes to that person's place, almost like you're dropping off the child for a weekend, instead of that person coming back into your home. And then I also mentioned to be realistic about custody issues, so that, you know, maybe you work out something in advance. So to decide who may really be the best person, you know, with that dog. It may seem like you just want the dog because either you want to get back at them or you just think you are better, but to really kind of evaluate, is it really best for the dog to stay with you, or is it best to stay with the other person? And then I suggest to make a trial run of it. Give it 1 month and see how it goes, you know, with what it is that you work out. Because again, things on paper may sound better than what it actually is in real life. And then number four, I say, we're offered to pay for a replacement pet. So if you're going to keep the dog that was between the two of you, maybe it'll help to at least offer, whether it's the money to adopt one or however it is that you go about choosing that pet, that person feels as if then they were equally compensated to the best that you can. I mean, you can never really replace your pet, but at least that may help ease some of the pain. And then fifth, I just say be consistent about it. So whatever it is that you choose, whether it is custody or visitation, that you be consistent between that and the person that you had been with. Mainly, again, for the dog, because I also talked to even some veterinarians on this issue, and they said, you know, having the dog going back and forth and between these different households, sometimes the dog can actually become upset and confused about, well, who's it really staying with and what's going on here and these different locations. So to really put the dog first.
I agree with you, especially, you know, the shuffling around, it can create almost a separation anxiety and just a distrust, I find, with a lot of pets, you know, when they're shuffled around from house to house, back and forth often. Have you ever heard of anybody going to court over a dog in a divorce situation where they're, you know, asking for the other partner to pay for vet bills and expenses and things like that?
Oh, definitely. A lot of families, especially these days, are going to court. And I even discussed this with a couple of lawyers in the book, too. And because there aren't standards from national standards, so every state even varies a bit in terms of how they can, what they consider as a pet, they actually still are just considered property. It's definitely, and that's where a lot of the lawyers were suggesting that you make an animal part of a prenup or draft some kind of contract right as you get married when you have a pet or whenever it is that you may get that pet, just in the event that something should happen, that you're more clear and it's in writing and on paper as to how you may handle that situation.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I just did a photo shoot actually with three people that share one French bulldog. He's amazing. He travels to three different houses on a regular basis. He has there's rotating custody between three people, and it's a riot, but it seems to work out for them. The dog seemed so well adjusted. He would do anything that we wanted to do the photo. But I thought, gosh, and the scheduling nightmare that must be for the three of them to keep, you know, shuffling that poor dog around all the time.
Exactly. But you know what? And the nice thing, and what I really point out too in Leashes and Lovers is, and what we can really learn from our dogs is, they really are very forgiving and they're so flexible and so adaptable. So with all that said too, you know, they can adjust pretty well to a lot of situations as long as they feel loved and everybody's happy about it. It sounds like the three of them, you know, made that work. So it's, like you said, it's probably the most inconvenient for them between, wait a minute, was it Tuesday I'm having the dog or is it Thursday?
Right.
But if they're all set on that, you know, dogs a lot of times really can adjust. I think it's, they pick up on our emotions and on our cues and our nonverbal body language. So those three sound like they're all very happy about it. So that's great. But when you have ex-spouses who obviously most of the time there still seems to be some kind of tension or so, that's when I think, again, there may be some more anxiety issues that could crop up for a lot of people's pets.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's great advice. On the complete opposite note, when it comes to merging dog houses, it seems like you have some tips for when you're about to move in with a new partner and you're merging. What are some advice and tips that you want to give our listeners for that? How to make it a smooth transition for everybody, the humans and the pet?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. And I like that. Yeah, let's go back to bringing everybody together.
Let's bring everyone together. Let's find our happy place.
Exactly. Well, yeah, there are certain things I even talk about, too, about, you know, how to really start off on the right paw. And, of course, it kind of depends, too, on are you each bringing an animal into the situation? Do you each have a dog? Does just one of you have a dog? But again, the whole goal is to make it so that you really are one happy pack. So one of the first things I suggest is, you know, to be honest from the start with each other about to what level do you want to involve your dog in your life? Do you see yourself setting up like some kind of routine, basically? You know, who's going to do what? Who's going to be the one to feed the dog? Who's going to be the one to walk it? Or to assign certain days that, you know, you each take on those kind of responsibilities. Secondly, to make compromises, to know that you can draft things on paper, but it doesn't always turn out that way. And especially those of us who have kids, we kind of learn too that you can plan everything down to the T, but sometimes in reality, it doesn't always work out that way. So not always keeping exact track of who does what, but to compromise along the way and make those adjustments. And then thirdly, I say, take it slow. Don't force it. So know that it's a newer relationship and that you're working on it, and you're not going to say that, okay, and if things aren't just right by Christmas, then forget it. we're turning in one of the dogs or something like that. But know that all of you are adjusting. You're adjusting to a new environment, probably a new routine. So kind of just to take it slow and don't force things on yourself or your dogs, and that there could be some even little issues that might crop up along the way. Like all of a sudden you might discover the dog who never peed inside the house is now peeing inside the house. So, you know, they have a way of showing what might manifest in terms of some what are abrupt changes in everybody's life. And then I also say to respect and appreciate each other. So kind of taking that note and that cue that your dog does when you come walking through the door and how you're very excited, or your dog is very excited to see you, to remember to do that even with the loved ones in our lives. So especially as they come through the door, to remember to say, hi, how was your day? Or to smile or go give them a hug or what it might be that is comfortable for you. But to take that first minute and to really give them the attention. And I even have a person in the book. His name is Jim Fannin, who studied this and really recognized that. And he even calls it the 90 seconds. I even shorten it to at least if you give even 30 seconds or 1 minute, I think it still works. But to give your undivided attention, just like your dog does for you, that when the other loved ones in your life too come through the door, that you give them that attention. And he said in that first 90 seconds will matter more than what you do for the next 2 hours.
Okay, so the first 90 seconds that you walk in the door, that's when it's most important to give your dog undivided attention?
For you to give the loved one in your life.
Or the loved one undivided attention. See if I easily flip that around to the dog? Oh my gosh, that's telling, isn't it? That's so me, of course. I pay attention to the dog first. Oh my goodness. So the 90-second rule is fascinating. In your book, you also mentioned something about how dogs find out all the information they need to know about another dog in just 7 seconds.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
It is incredible.
Our dogs are so smart and so intuitive. If we could only do what they do in the first 7 seconds. And of course, we're making our assumptions about what somebody is like. But they know much more scientifically. They can sense out. They know immediately whether that dog is male or female, what kind of mood it is in, whether it's healthy or sick, the age, basically, of that other dog. So when they're doing their sniffing, you know, they're not just being kind of nosy necessarily, they're being very analytical about it. So they're really discovering a lot of things when they're sniffing each other out.
Sure. And in closing, before we say goodbye, I'd like to find out, what are your 5 tips for a more intimate life when the dog is around? I think a lot of us dog owners out there, you know, we look at our dogs like it's a kid. You know, my dog's in the room. I need some privacy. What do you suggest people do about that kind of situation when your dog's in the room and, you know, it's time to be intimate with your partner?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of funny stories in the book, too, about how people do handle this. Some will put them outside the room and then they just hear the dog whining and scratching and trying to get back in. And then each one is saying they can't concentrate, to some people who actually like, hey, it's fine. You know, if the dog is right there. But yeah, some of the tips I definitely give to people is, well, you can make a place in your room or in another room where the dog finds that really fun and captivating. You may give it its special toy just at that time. So maybe it's a Kong filled with peanut butter that they really love and that they know it's their special treat. But most of all, I think the thing that dogs really teach us in that aspect too is to remind us again to be compassionate with one another and trusting with one another and to have patience. And fourthly, I would say, you know, forget about it. Forget about your other worries. Forget about what it is that whether you think the dog is sizing up what's happening or are you having fun, but just know that your dog really could care less pretty much most of the time. And fifthly, to have spontaneity. You know, that's such a great tool that dogs bring to us, is they usually are up for about anything in terms of if we decide then, okay, you're going to take a walk, then they're like, great, good idea. I don't know how your dogs are, but as soon as I grab the leashes, you know, they could have been laying there in a slumber, but all of a sudden they have this boundless energy. Just the spontaneity of being up for, yeah, it's a great, beautiful day. Let's go do this. Or, you know, even though it's the middle of the day, let's take a little break and go be intimate with one another. So I think just that they remind us to live in the moment, as they always say.
Oh, that's great advice, to live in the moment. We often forget about that. At least I do personally. That's really good advice. There's so much that we can learn from our pet, and so much more you can learn about your dogs and how they affect your love, life, and relationships through Cheryl Mathis's book called Leashes and Lovers. Cheryl, where can we find your book?
You can come right to the site, and all the links are right there. It's leashesandlovers.com/the book, and it'll either take you right to Amazon, it'll take you to the Kindle download if you just want it as an ebook in less than a minute, or you can also click on another button and get a personalized autographed copy from me.
Oh, fabulous. Cheryl Mathis, thank you so much for joining me today. Everyone, you have to check out her book, Leashes and Lovers. It's fabulous. And also her website, leashesandlovers.com. I'm definitely going to join you this summer for one of your social events. Sounds like so much fun.
Oh, too. That would be great.
It'd be so great. It was such a pleasure finally connecting with you, Cheryl. I appreciate your time and wish you all the best success in your life. I really do.
Oh, thank you, Dara, and you too as well. You're doing great work, and I love all your fashion tips and seeing the dogs all dressed up is lots of fun.
I have more fun than should be legal. Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl. It was a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to me, Dara Foster, on PetLifeRadio.com on my show, The Pet Set. I also would like to let everyone know I actually have my first book coming out in January. It's a children's book called Now You See It, Pup Style. It's published by Scholastic. So I'm so excited. It's a fun book full of pictures of naked dogs and then dogs dressed up in clothes. It's really cool. So look for that on shelves and Scholastic book clubs and fairs and all major retailers January 11. And also, if you're jonesy for some good dog fashion and tips on where to find the best aesthetically designed and utilitarian pet products, please tune into my website at pupstyle.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
From Paris, New York, and around the globe, get ready for the hip, the trendy, the uber cool, where pets rule. If you've got a passion for pet fashion and a flair for animal wear, this is the ultimate place to take a peek at what's chic in the world of designer pet fashion and cool new pet products. The Pet Set, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.